Hey, everybody, welcome to the first episode of the Bigger Picture Podcast with your host, Brad McLeod. Today's guest is a good friend of mine, and he's Aaron LeBold. Aaron, you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, buddy.
Awesome.
Maybe just give us a quick rundown, man. Who are you?
I am someone who worked with you in the recovery field. I was there for about 8 years. I've since kind of taken a chance and starting to do some writing. I've written a novel and I've been writing up my life story. So yeah, still enjoy talking about recovery and still kind of a big part of my life. So yeah, definitely happy to be on here with you.
Yeah, for sure, man. Thanks a lot. I think what we were talking back and forth a bit earlier and what we wanted to talk about today was the holidays are coming up.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of downtime, and I can remember back to when I was out there in the madness, there was a lot of downtime and I couldn't wait for Christmas morning to get a couple of bucks.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I think that that's a big part of it. I think there's a lot of elements to the whole Christmas season that kind of are triggering for a lot of people. I mean, it's supposed to be kind of like a happy time, but I mean, realistically, like not everybody it is, right? So, I mean, sometimes those feelings can creep up and kind of cause you to have some slip up as well, right? So money and booze being around and all that kind of stuff is all issues when it comes to the holidays, for sure.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that's pretty common for a lot of people too, especially people who struggle with alcohol and stuff like that. It's everywhere. So we'll both get into kind of what worked for us, but what if somebody came up to you and they asked you, well, Aaron, what's, you know, from your experience and your advice, maybe tell us a little bit more too about what qualifies you to give maybe some advice in your experience, but then answer the question of what's something tangible that somebody could do if they were in a tough spot?
I think definitely is putting something on paper, kind of having a plan pre-made is probably your best bet. Like kind of going through and figuring out what your possible situations could be and creating a specific plan for each one on how to deal with it. Right. So like, whatever that may be for everyone's got something different, right? So, I mean, there could be kind of a bit of a generic thing, but I mean, it would have to be personal to anybody who's doing it on their own, right? But If you know, going to one relative's house, like, you know, oh, this person does drugs. So it's like, what am I going to do? How am I going to avoid this person? How am I going to lay out boundaries? Maybe lay out boundaries before you even go. I think a lot of it's just like forethought and like looking ahead at what the worst case scenarios could be or what could trigger you. And figuring out how to deal with them so you're not stuck in the moment.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I also want to throw something else on there too, though. I think, you know, some people might need to make decisions that they just can't go to that person's place, or they just might have to sit that one out. You know, And I've made those suggestions to people before, and it, you know, it's like they just don't want to do that. But I think people need to understand what risk is involved here. I mean, this is your life. This is your recovery. If you have to miss one Christmas this year so that you can enjoy the rest, I think that's a sacrifice that most people should be willing to make.
Yeah. And I know for me, like prevention and stuff has come a lot easier the further in recovery I've got. I'm not sure about you, but I mean, like the more you have under your belt and the more experience you have and the more self-confidence you have, the easier it is. Right. So yeah, especially if you're in early recovery, I think that makes sense to like, if you analyze your risks and they seem too high, then just don't take them, right? Like your family will understand.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, and that's good. And it's a good point too there, right? Like with more experience, I don't know if taking a risk is the thing, but I think with more experience, you're going to have better awareness. You know, yeah. I don't know if like, you know, taking these extreme risks is ever the greatest idea, but you're going to have more awareness to where you're going to understand yourself better to be able to make those decisions that aren't going to end you up back where you started.
Yeah. And I think in early recovery, a lot of the things that like can become normal feel like big risks, even though they're not, like, you know what I mean? It's like what a risk is defined at is probably different as to where you're at in your recovery. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like walking by someone's house that, you know, sells drugs would be a risk in your first couple weeks. But once you're clean for 10 years, you know what I mean? And your desire to use goes down. Walking by that same house might not be classified as such a risk. You know what I mean? So I use that term kind of in terms of where you're at relative to your recovery too. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Which makes sense. That actually makes a lot of sense. And it's a really good point. So I mean, like, just to kind of sum up that whole thing there is like, we would just encourage people to make a plan as something tangible, write it down. and have a plan in place and ready to go and something that actually makes sense for you.
Yeah. And just to go on top of that, I would say, don't just do it for yourself, like do it for yourself, but don't just keep it to yourself. I would share it with somebody, right? If you've got like a spouse or like your parents or anybody in your life that you're close with, so that someone else can kind of hold you accountable to that too. Like if you create this great plan and internally you decide that you're not going to follow it when you end up in a risky situation, you know what I mean? The results aren't going to be good. But if like someone's there to hold you accountable, they can remind you of your plan. Mm-hmm. So making it as part of it, then being honest about it and then like kind of setting yourself up to stay committed to it is kind of the other half of that, I think.
Yeah, no, and then that's super huge, super important, is accountability piece, right? Because what happens when we get in those situations? Like I've got times where I got clean for a bit and then I went backwards. And in those situations, when I knew what the right thing was to do, it's very overwhelming. And if you don't have somebody else involved that can hold you accountable and knows your plan and wants to try to help and support you, it can be overwhelming to try to do it alone. Like doing it alone, I don't think is going to work, you know, any more than 90% of the time.
Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of on any given day. But then when we're talking about the holidays, it's like even more difficult, I think, because there's so much emotion. And, you know, a lot of us as drug addicts have like had not the best holidays over the course of time. And it's like all those memories come up and seeing everybody else be happy. And you know what I mean? Like there's a lot of things that can be triggered around the holiday time. And even on top of that, too, the days get shorter, right? So, I mean, like, that's kind of a thing that actually really makes a big difference on people. When there's less sunlight and shorter days, and, you know, it can affect your mood a lot, too. So, Christmas time is kind of like, you know, an extreme situation for triggers and stuff, right?
Yeah, is that what's going on with me? Because I've been down in the dumps here. Is it the shorter sunlight day?
It's quite possible. I think a lot of people, you know, they kind of encourage vitamins and that kind of stuff. Because you get vitamin D from the sun, and when you're not getting it, right, like, I find myself wanting to eat a lot more and like sleep a lot more. And, you know, it's always.
I'm not really down in the dumps, but I do notice a change there where it's like, you have to make an adjustment actually, since you brought that up. And
yeah. And I mean, that might be different in different parts of the world, but I know where we live, like our days are over at 5 o'clock. It's dark now. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that makes a difference. Like when you get up and it's, you know, 5 or 6 o'clock and it feels like 10:30, it's like, you know, it can take a toll on you doing it every day, right? So,
yeah, for sure. So Aaron and I, I'll tell you guys a little bit too that are listening. Aaron and I met, we used to work at a treatment center here in Canada. For you guys that don't know, I'm up here in Canada. Aaron is too. He lives about an hour and a half from me.
Yeah, about that, hour and a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, hour and a bit. Small town, but nice town. We met there. We didn't work together at first. I was working on the weekends, trying to earn my stripes. And Aaron was already working basically during the day, you know, on a day shift. You kind of move up the ranks, you get a better shift. So, but things changed after, I don't know, maybe a year and a half of me working there. And I started working with Aaron. And that went on for quite a bit of years. And we just became close. And Aaron really helped me out with starting up the recovery coaching services that I have now and some of the programs that I use. He was a big help to starting that stuff up. And so that's kind of where, you know, where we met, and we've just been good friends ever since. He's went other ways and is doing a couple other things now, like he mentioned writing and stuff. So how would somebody find your writing though, Aaron?
It's a webpage called Wattpad, has it? Or on Facebook, I have a business page. It's just my name, Aaron Liebold, and it's their links are all on there too.
Okay.
And I've got my life story. Well, it's on Medium, but I'm transferring it all over to Wattpad right now. So,
Wattpad. Can you spell that for me?
I think it's Wattpad.
Okay.
I think
I'm bad at spelling.
Yeah.
What's the book about on Wattpad?
Well, the one is my life story, and then the other one is called Demons Among Us, and it's kind of it's a fictional book, but it's kind of like real life kind of situations, like thinking about addiction and just kind of using like the empathy that I've kind of developed over the years, understanding where a lot of addicts come from, I mean, myself included, and kind of made a book based on the feelings and the behaviors, but the plot lines are fictional, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually in there for chapter 31 and 32, I think.
Yeah, 22 and 23, I think, or so. Oh, no, maybe you're in the 30s. Yeah, you're in the 30s.
Yeah, it's in the 30s. But yeah, so you guys should go check that out. On another note, so I mean, I think we got the holidays kind of wrapped up. You know, I mean, if you're going in and you're new to recovery, you know, and new is referring to first year of recovery in a sense. You know, have a little plan about what you're going to do. It doesn't have to be this big drawn out thing, but have a plan, something in place, and whatever the program you're working looks like, whether if it's a fellowship or whether it's treatment aftercare, outpatient, or whatever it is that you're doing smart recovery, just make sure that you're incorporating that over the holidays. Don't get too busy for your recovery because that's dangerous. Don't you think, Aaron?
Yeah. And I think it's important to kind of bear in mind what you said too. Like if there's, you got to remember that, like, if you have to make some sacrifices this year, it's going to just make so that you have to make less the next year and the year after. Like as drug addicts, we often don't think ahead too much, but like, it could feel overwhelming having to tell people like, I'm not coming or I can't see you this year or whatever else. But you know, making the sacrifice is definitely going to be well worth it instead of starting all over again at the beginning, right? So I think that was an important part that you brought up there.
Yeah. You know, and it's tough though. I can emphasize with people, you know, be empathetic towards the fact of that they want to, you know, kind of be a part of things because maybe they've missed out. You know, I remember when I was in, when I was using, you know, I was always there for Christmas, but I wasn't really there. You know, like I was there, but I wasn't really there. I missed out on a lot of that stuff. I didn't, you know, I didn't enjoy it. I didn't feel like I was present. And I think it's exciting for when people enter recovery and they start feeling better and they start like actually feeling again. And you get excited about stuff. You want to be part of it. But I just think like keep things in perspective and just your recovery's got to come first or everything else is going to fall apart.
Yeah, I think it comes down mostly to self-awareness, right? Like, I mean, obviously, you get clean, you're excited, people are proud of you. Like, there's obviously a lot of really good elements about it. So it's about self-awareness. Am I going to be capable of dealing with this situation in the right way? You know what I mean? And if your answer is honestly no, then you got to take a look at that, right? Whatever the situation is, which could be different.
For yeah, so then but you would, if your answer is no, then you probably should just sit out for that.
Yeah, and go with your instincts. If like if you say when you find, and then don't
whatever it is.
Yeah. Like try, you know, convincing yourself.
So I want to thank you guys for checking out the Bigger Picture podcast, the first one we've done. I'm going to be having other guests, recovery related. I'm going to tell you second episode what the bigger picture is all about, what that means to me, and the kind of people that we're going to be getting on the podcast.